Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let's read from verse number 9 through verse number 15. It says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of the brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." For those of you who visit our church website on a regular basis, or maybe have a Facebook account, you've probably seen my most recent post, my most recent mini message, and it really contains the essence of my message this evening, which is horoscopes, an offense to God. Last week, I don't know if you paid attention, but there was a lot of discussion given to the potential changes in the zodiac signs. Now, I don't even know if any of you are very familiar with horoscopes or the zodiac signs. I'm really not. I couldn't even tell you what sign it is that they would say I'm supposed to have because of my birth date. I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about the zodiac signs and historically where these things came from. And had I had the opportunity, I probably would have did a little research in preparation for this message, but I thought it probably wasn't important. I probably don't need to concern myself with understanding all the ways of the heathen, knowing that it's inappropriate, unacceptable, and sinful for before God is enough for me. But just so you might understand, especially you young people who may have not ever been exposed to this type of thing, if depending on when you were born during the year, you know, depending on when your birthday falls, I don't know, I guess they've got 20 or 12 different zodiac signs. Is there 12? I don't know. But depending on where you were born, you would have a certain sign. You would be a Leo, I think that's one of them, or a Scorpio, or a Gemini. And forgive me if I'm wrong about those things. I just took them from the top of my head. But I think those are some of the signs that people say that they are in relationship to the zodiac signs. And so, I really can't recall from the articles that I read about this, why they said that some of the signs may change. Maybe has to do with moon, stars, sun. I don't know what's happened, but they were saying some of those dates may move around, and so maybe some people weren't going to be the sign they always thought they were, or maybe it's just that certain people that are born after today, let's say, have to go by these dates rather than the old dates. But there was just all kinds of attention and talk given to this particular subject last week. Of course, one of the public forums that I get to see on a regular basis is Facebook. And so there was a lot of people that were posting things about this current event last week. And there was a lot of people just adamant, you know, refusing to change their sign. They've been whatever it is that they are for 30 or 40 years, and nobody's going to tell them that they've got to change now. And even one of the things that I see on a daily basis is, and I don't know if this happens automatically for some people, but you'll see on some people's Facebook profiles, it just automatically posts their horoscope for the day. And so I've got a couple hundred friends, and a handful of them get their horoscope delivered every day, and if you don't understand how Facebook works, I see their posts. And so I see people evidently reading their horoscopes. It's really nothing but a bunch of superstitious nonsense. I guess the zodiac signs come somehow from the alignment of the stars, I don't know. And because of the alignment of the stars and you being born on a particular day, they send you a horoscope to tell you what you might expect to encounter during that day. And of course, they're always very, very generic, right? It's like the fortune teller that reads your palm and tells you you're going to have an experience that makes you feel warm and fuzzy today. Well, you know, you might walk outside and the sun hit you in the face, and that was the fulfillment, I guess, of that supposed prophecy. Again, it's just a bunch of superstitious nonsense. And a lot of people, when I want to discuss it or talk about it and indicate that it's an offense to God, they will defend it by saying nobody really takes it serious. It's all just done for fun. But regardless of whether or not people take it serious or not, it is an offense to God. Look at what verse number 9 says about this subject. It says, and again, historically, this is written to the people of Israel. And maybe because of that, some people would dismiss it as irrelevant to Bible believers today, but I'll show you in just a moment how it is not irrelevant to Bible believers today. It says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee," when the people of Israel were to come to inherit the land of Canaan, God says, "Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." In a moment, we'll look at some of those abominations, but it's talking about diviners, enchanters, magicians, wizards, necromancers. We'll talk about just real briefly what those things are. But I want you to see, first of all, this principle that's found here in verse number 9. God says, "I don't want you to learn to do after the abominations of these nations. I don't want you to act like these other nations, like the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites. You are not to act like them. You are to be different. You are to be distinct. You are to be peculiar. You are to be holy." And this is something that resonates throughout the Old Testament for the people of Israel. But again, it is not just a principle that's found in the Old Testament. This is a principle that is also found over and over again in the New Testament. Sometimes we look at some of these Old Testament laws and we wonder why God would take the time to say those things. They don't seem to have any moral significance. One that at least comes to my mind is, you know, seething or boiling a kid in its mother's milk. What would be wrong about that? The best answer that I've ever received from a preacher is that it's probably something that the heathen did. Although it does kind of seem kind of cruel, you know, to take a mother's milk and then boil its baby in it. I mean, it just seems kind of mean, I guess. You know, poor baby, poor mommy, poor somebody. I don't know. It does seem kind of unfeeling, though, doesn't it? But there's other things. You know, the dietary restrictions. You know, why? How come they couldn't eat pork? How come they couldn't eat ossifrage? How come they couldn't eat these things? Because God wanted them to be different. He wanted them to be distinct. He wanted to teach them that there was a difference between the profane and the holy. And what he said is, "You are not to be like the other nations." And what did the nation of Israel in the end do? They wanted to be like all the other nations. They said, "We want to have a king like all the other nations." And that was one of their downfalls. I was reading something of a political nature today or perhaps yesterday, and they were saying, you know, America is the only nation that, and I can't remember what it is, I wish I could, that does such and such. And again, progressives and liberals are constantly pointing that out, and I'm saying, well, glory to God. We don't want to be like everybody else. We've always been this lone superpower. Or one of two superpowers in the world. Let's get back to when we were better than China. Did you hear what Jay Leno said? The president of China is coming to the White House. But he said, not to worry, they're not going to foreclose. They're going to allow him to stay there another month. Because China owns our debt. That's where our debt resides, with China. Why don't we go back to the old days before we had any debt? Or at least made the Chinese rich because of, anyway, I'm getting off track, but what's wrong with being different if being different is better? And someone will say, this is just an Old Testament principle. This only applies to the people of Israel. In Ephesians 4:17, the Bible clearly tells New Testament believers to walk not as other Gentiles. Don't live, and that word Gentiles means nations. Don't live like the other nations, like the other people around you. Be distinct. 1 Peter chapter 2 calls us a peculiar people. Again, at the very least, that means we are different. We're considered odd by the rest of the world. Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we had our conversation in time past. Among who? Among the Gentiles, among the other peoples, the other nations. We used to live like them. But then it says, but God. But God changed us, and now we're different, and now we're distinct, and now we're to be peculiar. 1 Peter 4:3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, the other nations, when we walked in lasciviousness and all those other things, but not anymore. Come out from among them. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Who's the them? Unbelievers. Other Gentiles. The nations. Walk differently. Live differently than everybody else around us. God says to the people of Israel, just as He says to New Testament believers, you be distinct and you be different from the lost world around you. That's why it greatly worries me and many other preachers when we begin to see churches incorporate things that the world uses. You know, companies do a lot of advertising and a lot of marketing. And when I see churches do it, it makes me cringe. If for no other reason, then that is a behavior of the world. And because of that, I'm not so certain that it should be a behavior or a characteristic of a church of God. Our culture, our behavior, our attitudes should be decidedly different than the world around us, including the types of things that are listed now here in verses 10 and 11. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. That was the custom of some of the heathen. They did sacrifices too, like the nation of Israel, but their sacrifices were not in the form of an animal. Sometimes it was in the form of one of their own children. And they would put a newborn baby into the hands of a smoldering statue as a sacrifice to their God. And the Lord says, that ought not to be for my people. He said, don't you ever do that. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, God says that that type of thing has never even entered His mind. But it was an action of the heathen. But then notice, it comes to that which is applicable to our subject tonight. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Again, all of these things in a general sense refer to the same type of activity. Divination, a diviner, a diviner. Joseph used that term when speaking to his brothers. It refers to someone who's able to foretell the future, someone who has certain special knowledge. An observer of times. Again, someone that follows the stars and the supposed messages that are sent to us earthlings because of, I don't study superstition, but I guess some people think the stars and the planets tell us something. An enchanter. This is somebody who casts a spell. A witch, someone who practices magic. A wizard. Literally, this means a knowing one. In Egypt, remember they had wizards. Even in Daniel's day, there were wizards, magicians and such that would be summoned when someone wanted the interpretation of their dream. But I think as we read the Bible, we find out that most of the time these people were frauds. And if they weren't a fraud, they were utilizing evil powers, satanic powers. It says, or a necromancer. That literally means someone who follows after the dead. And in 1 Samuel 28, Saul uses this woman to try to call forth Samuel from the dead. And apparently does. So again, these things all speak towards the same general idea. And these were practices of the nations in the land of Canaan before Israel dwelt there. And these are the things that God says you're not to have any part in. Don't learn after their ways. And he even gives a second plea to his people in verses 13 and 14. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. And again, behaving in the manners that are talked about previously are not behaving perfectly before the Lord. Notice verse 12, which I didn't read. It says, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. This is a strong language. It's an abomination to God. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. God was driving these nations out because of these types of behaviors. He was judging them and allowed the people of Israel to take their land. Verse 14, but for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered, that is, he hath not allowed thee also to do. We can expect lost people to act like this. But this is not how saved people should act. Do you know on my post, which had to do with this subject, there was someone who liked it. When you like somebody's post, for those of you that don't know, you click a button, it gives the thumbs up, they like it. The next day, they got their horoscope delivered. I must be missing something. How can you like my post? I was a little more gentle than I thought I would be to begin with. I was going to reference the fact that these horoscopes came into Facebook. Reference the fact that how it's an offense to God, but you only got what 100? You don't get very many characters on your post. You get like 3 sentences, and that's it. So you kind of got to limit your message. But someone says I like it, and then they have their horoscope delivered. My hope was I wouldn't see any more of those on people's Facebook accounts. I'm just too optimistic. But notice verse number 15. And maybe this is the most important thing to see in the message tonight and in this text. Because I think some of you probably are aware that Deuteronomy chapter 18 is a very significant portion of Scripture. But not because of what I've read so far. It's because of the prophecy concerning that prophet. I mean, that's a phrase that's used even in the New Testament. You know, they're asking John the Baptist, they're asking Jesus, are you Elijah? Are you that prophet? They were referring to this portion of Scripture where God gave a prophecy concerning a specific prophet. And of course, that this prophecy refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this diviner, this observer of times, these magical things that's being discussed here is a part of the context under which God gives this prophecy. And it's important to understand in order to see why horoscopes and such are such an offense to God. Because it says, notice, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. And I don't know, but it appears to me that if God was to put the emphasis somewhere in the text that we read, it would be on that last statement. I'm going to raise up a prophet likened to me, and it's that prophet that you're to listen to. It's that prophet that you're supposed to get guidance from. Not the stars, not the magicians, not those who summon the dead. You're to listen to that prophet. In Isaiah chapter 30, I think verse 1 is applicable to this subject. Let me read it. Let me quote it to you. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children," God talking to Israel, "that take counsel, but not of me." And if that weren't bad enough, it goes on to say, "And that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." What did they do that was such an offense to God? Not only did they not seek counsel from Him, but they sought it elsewhere. And if you read the context, it goes on to talk about how the people went down into Egypt to find counsel and protection. And that was an offense to God. You know, one of you recently told me about an incident where one of your children didn't consult you before making an important decision. And you know what? That was an offense to you. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not necessarily saying that we should chasten a child in that particular case. If a child's doing a good thing, praise the Lord, even though we don't get the nicety of counseling them in the right direction. But if you understand that concept, you'll understand why it is such an offense to God when people turn to a horoscope to try to figure out how to live their life or what they might expect into the future. That is an offense to God. And there are people, evidently, have these horoscopes delivered to their email, to their Facebook account every day, and probably take the time to read it. But do you think they ever take time to open up this book and to see what it has to say in regards to their life? Probably not. That's why this is sinful. That's why this is such an offense to God. You know, the sin of Adam and Eve, in general, couldn't you say that the sin of Adam and Eve was not listening to God? Instead, they listened to the lies of Satan. And years ago, I read something from one preacher that said perhaps that's why God chose the means of faith to save those who are lost. Because the sin of Adam and Eve, they turned their back on the revelation that God gave to them, and they listened to the lies of Satan. And that's what people are doing when they turn to a horoscope. Whether it's just for fun or not, it is an offense to God, because what He wants people to do is to turn to His Word. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, if you want to know what the future holds, you just have to open this book. It's not the will of God that any should perish, that all should come into repentance. That's the will of God concerning your life. He wants you to repent of your sin and to believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior. 1 Thessalonians 4, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication." That's the will of God, that you be sanctified. It's the will of God that we serve Him. It's the will of God that we be winning souls to Him. It's the will of God that we be thankful to God for what we have. These are things that are specifically said to be the will of God in the Scriptures. But most people don't take the time to try to look here to see what the will of God is for their life or what the future holds. But this book tells us what the future holds. God revealed to Joseph what the future held. God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar what the future held. God revealed to Pharaoh what the future held. And in those three cases, they listened to him. And as a result, they prospered. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Not the horoscope. The Bible. The Bible is a light unto my feet. A lamp unto my feet. A light unto my path. So again, if you want to know, if you want a sense of direction in your life from day to day, don't turn to vain, superstitious things like horoscopes. Turn to this book. That's why God gave it to us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. And Lord, I'm certain that there is no one here that consults vain things like a horoscope on a daily basis. But Lord, I still thought it well for us to discuss this, as it's been given a lot of attention by some over the last week. And Lord, I think it's important for us to understand that when we go elsewhere for counsel, advice, direction in life other than from Thee and Thy Word, that You're offended by it, that Lord, it's sin. So God, help us to esteem this book as we should, to turn to it to determine what Your will is for our life, and to turn to it that we might find direction as well. And God, just bless the message as it went forth tonight. Use it for thy glory and use it for the benefit of thy people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And ladies, you can stay in here for prayer. And gentlemen, we'll go to